Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
This is the home of Jerry's percentages.
Jerry's got a good average at the brass rail, I'll tell you that. I love the brass rail.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, and Jamie Noodles McLennan. Feeling good on a Thursday afternoon.
You are. You got an hour's left of work.
Before I'm out of here for actually a long weekend, because we're not going to be in here on Monday. I think the show will continue to go on. Scotty Mack will be in here, I'm assuming.
Who cares? We're not.
Yeah, we won't be in here.
Well, I think a lot of people are taking Monday off.
Yeah, it's May 2 for, man. It's one of the great weekends of the year.
But what is it for, though?
It's just to kickstart the summer.
You know what it is? Labor Day. What does that mean? Or it's not Labor Day.
No, it's Victoria Day weekend.
Yeah, we don't.
It's basically to kickstart the summer.
Yeah, no, that's idea. Exactly what it is. You might as well, like, what? Why do we need to, throw a shout out to a former queen? Why don't we just call it what it is?
Okay, why don't you guys stay home this weekend and watch the royal wedding? Isn't that tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tomorrow morning. When I was talking to my wife about that today, it starts at 9:30 local time. Like 9:30, so 4:30 here in Toronto.
Honestly, I can't talk about it for two more seconds. I could care less that they're getting married. Like, go ahead, have a good life, get married. Like, yeah. I don't care. These people that are like...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, why would you get married at 9:30 in the morning?
Why not 2 in the afternoon?
Yeah, why are you so special that you have a morning wedding? They're, who gets married at 9:30 in the morning?
People that have to... that it's how many people... Do you think there will be 50 million people in the world watch it?
Oh, way more than that, dude. There's going to be hundreds of millions of people.
So that's why.
I think.
So that it'll reach everyone. I don't know. It won't be on in my house. I don't think.
Oh, I guarantee it'll be PVR'd. If I know Steph, that will be PVR'd.
She, I don't know. She doesn't care, I don't think, that much.
I think she does. It. My wife is PVR'd. I'm not kidding you. Every channel. Like, I was talking to her the other day. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I got to get CTV, and then I want to get CNN, and I want to see what NBC is doing. I'm like, why? What is it? Pick one, and let's record it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to watch it, but why? Like, you're going to watch every single feed?
Just to get different angles?
I suppose.
To see maybe different stars being interviewed, like who's made the list and who didn't?
Well, like I read about that this morning. I was telling you guys off the air. Meghan Markle, like, she's got a family tree that...
Sounds like it's
not really working out.
Yeah, it's been uprooted a few times.
Yeah.
And I guess her ex-husband's sister has been hired by a channel somewhere around the world to go over there and basically be like a color analyst.
Be an analyst. Just break it down.
That's something I aspire to be, a wedding analyst. Imagine being the Ray Ferraro of wedding analysts.
That'd be pretty cool.
I would think it'd be somewhat lucrative. You could make some money.
Well, if it's massive weddings, you're not doing one in Keswick. You're doing one everywhere. Like in the highest.
And how many of them are around the world? I mean, there really aren't
that many.
So, anyway, royal wedding taking place this weekend. Scotty Mack will be in here for me tomorrow. You guys will be talking about game 4 between the Caps and the Lightning, and the Jays are back in town. And,
yep.
You guys see the story about the Browns? Have you ever watched Hard Knocks on HBO?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we remember the hockey ones, but they've been doing the football ones forever. And they're brilliantly produced. This is such a Brownsy move. The Browns have agreed to be the team on Hard Knocks. So you're going to bring in Baker Mayfield, who's one of the more controversial first overall picks in the history of the draft, who's already got a reputation of being a guy who wants attention and likes the camera. You're coming off an 0-16 season.
Yeah.
So there's carryover players that are embarrassed by that and probably don't want it profiled.
The title alone.
Hard Knocks?
School of Hard Knocks.
And the Browns are like, yeah, please. And this just screams. This is why teams are a joke. Like, this is why bad teams and teams that are owned by people that just can't figure it out.
You're
constantly
a president
lose.
Or a coach, or like, why would you? It's tough enough to get through a season without this garbage.
Right. Like, this is Baker Mayfield's first training camp, and HBO is going to be hanging
around.
Could you
see Belichick allowing that?
No.
Never.
Never. Could you see Lou Lamoriello allowing that? Never. I mean, this proves to me the Browns want attention. They don't want a new culture. They don't even want wins. They just want to be recognized on the national stage.
Well, and something will happen that we will be talking about it.
Absolutely. Every episode will have something. Baker Mayfield will get caught doing something. Or,
exactly.
You know, some guy will say something about Mayfield. Or look how awful he looked at scrimmage today. And a veteran wide receiver is going to say, why did we pick this guy? I mean, he's brutal.
Here's the other thing is the language is going to offend people because, you know, the Bruce Boudreau yelling and screaming with the F word a few times, like, upset so many people.
It still hangs over them.
And it wasn't even a bad tirade. Like, I've seen 50 times worse than that. And,
right.
But yet, you know, you're right. It follows them around. So you're going to see behind the curtain of stuff that you may not want to see.
Well, and listen, I love seeing it. That's the beauty of the production and the beauty of the show. But I'm saying the Browns, like any other year, I guess maybe you open your doors, but why would you do it coming off 0-16 when you've got the first overall pick? Everyone's going to be watching Baker Mayfield anyway, and you're going to expose him that much more. It just doesn't seem like something you'd ever want to
do. You're right. They just want attention.
Yeah, it's just silly.
How many wins do you think the Browns will have this year?
I think they're going to win
a couple,
at least 4 or 5 games.
That's what I was going to say, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Because you can't. You have to go up from 0.
They were 1-15, then 0-16.
Right.
They have Tyrod Taylor or Baker Mayfield. One of them obviously is going to play, so they're going to be upgraded at the most important position. Miles Garrett's going to be healthy. I'm not going to break down the Browns here,
right.
But 4 or 5, I would think.
There you go.
I wonder what the prop bet will be. I'll check that out.
That's
in Vegas.
That's what I'm saying. Check that out in Vegas.
You want me to? Let's say the future is 3.5. That's what the prop is. Do you want me to put some money on the over for you?
Yep. 20.
Okay.
Put a 20 for
I'll
sure.
I'll put a hunch.
Hunch? We're betting on the Browns.
U.S.?
Yes, guy.
We're betting on the Browns.
What's the prop bet that you like, other than...
I'm going to look at the Packers, see what they're at. I think they're going to win a lot of games.
Our next year's NHL, they wouldn't be out yet.
I don't know. They might be. Like, the regular season could be. I don't know. They get adjusted all the time, right? Like, you could bet 5, 10 years down the road. Remember Roy McIlroy's dad bet when he was, like, 15 that his kid would win the British Open before he was 25 or something like that. Like, if you are willing to conjure up the prop bet, there is a bookie in Vegas that will take.
Find out if there's an overdrive prop bet.
Okay, I'll look into it. All right, here's Jared Greenberg from NBA TV. The NBA playoffs continuing. It was kind of a shocking outcome last night. I mean, Golden State has been steamrolling everyone. They got smoked last night. Again, here's Jared Greenberg from NBA TV. How shocked were you with that outcome last night, Jared?
Well, I wasn't shocked that Houston would be able to come back and win. I was shocked that they absolutely blew out Golden State. You know, I thought they had kind of started to find their rhythm and didn't even play all that well, relatively to their own standards in game one, but yet won by a convincing margin. So I figured if Houston was going to get back and even up the series as they did, it would be by a much closer margin than it was.
How, I wouldn't say injured, but how out of shape does Steph Curry look to you?
You know, I think it's a big question. You know, is he still suffering effects from the injury? Is he still, as you you know, implied, is he suffering the effects of still trying to get in shape from being out for so long? Or is he just in a slump? And I don't think we know. They're certainly not going to make excuses for him. They kind of joked about it after the game last night. But I would say it's certainly not helping the fact that Houston finally made a really conscious effort last night to go at him. And while I think, you know, Steph Curry is not as bad of a defender as many people would like to make him out to be, because it's easy just to pin him as that. He's certainly the weakest of the five that are on the court usually for Golden State, but that doesn't mean he's awful. But when you make maybe the most important offensive player on a team work defensively, it maybe takes a little bit away from him. And I think we saw, you know, 23 times last night the Rockets, you know, went out of their way to go at Steph Curry. And that certainly can't be helping the shooting slump he's in.
There's some question marks with Golden State, like what was that performance last night? But don't you see this going back there and then just they become the Golden State Warriors again and everybody's on fire and they win a couple games and they make quick work of this series? Or do you not see it playing out like that?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly still think Golden State wins. I don't change, you know, how I feel about this series after a night like last night, especially after we had, you know, the exact opposite happen on game one. You know, the scary part was, game one, as I mentioned, Golden State, I didn't think played their best game. And Houston really didn't play a bad game. Like James Harden had, what, 40 points. And the turnover numbers, while for the team at 16 in game one were a little higher than they'd like them to be, Harden and Chris Paul combined for five the whole game. You know, and it's amazing to think that Houston played that well, and we didn't think Golden State played all that perfect in game one, and Golden State won by a large margin. And last night, it's pretty clear, Houston was on their game. They were great, but Golden State played really bad. Do you think you're going to get, you know, three more instances of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green not playing all that well? The thing with Golden State is that they need two of those guys to play great, and usually two out of the four do. Last night, only one out of the four did. And I have a hard time believing that repeats itself three more times.
With Jared Greenberg of NBA TV. Game three tomorrow night in Cleveland. Celtics up 2-0. And two pretty decisive wins. I mean, a couple of beatdowns. And the Celtics, you know, I've been so impressed with them all year. Brad Stevens gets so much love. But I think it's Danny Ainge who's truly the superstar of that organization when you consider what he's done. How much trouble do you think LeBron is in? Do you believe he can find a way to dig them out of this? Or is this over for you?
Well, do I answer from LeBron or from what everybody else thinks? Because LeBron never thinks LeBron's in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And listen, I mean, I'll be very critical of LeBron at times, but you know, I think right now he's the third greatest player that's ever played the game, and you know, still has a really good chance of being probably the most accomplished and the best player we've ever seen. So I say it in jest, but when he's on the court and he's playing the way he is, I wouldn't count anything to be over. You know, I don't think the rest of his team is prepared and capable of doing this, but he's LeBron freaking James, guys. And he's, you know, shown, you know, I don't mean to rub it in, but he's shown Raptor fans, he's shown basketball fans in Canada, you know, how he could turn it on and just take over a possession, a quarter, a game, a series, in the snap of a finger. And I don't think he's getting tired, you know, which is the scary part.
No, I don't think he is either, but he had a triple-double in game two, and they lost by double digits. So I don't think, you know, someone else has to step up at some point.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, and it's to me, it's a bit silly at this point that it seems like the Cavs are still searching for guys. Like, you play Rodney Hood one night, and you sit Jordan Clarkson the next night. I mean, you know, it's one thing for, like, the way the Raptors played it, where everybody plays every night, and you know that's how it's going to be. You just don't know the minutes and certainly the pattern. But a team like the Cavs, you know, you can't be the sixth man one night and not play the next. I mean, it's we're closing in on 100 games for the season. You got to kind of know who you are and know how you're going to win. And right now, the only thing the Cavs have done all season long is just say, all right, LeBron, go do it. And he does it time in, time again. And that's why, you know, that's why I don't count him out, because they have no business beating the Raptors, in my mind. They had no business beating the Pacers with the way the supporting cast played. But LeBron, somehow, some way, is still in it. And if he wins game three, let alone if he wins game three and four, we're having a whole other conversation.
Yeah, not only did they beat the Raps, as you know, I mean, they embarrassed the Raptors and they swept them. And as a result, Dwayne Casey lost his gig. And
can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I made a prediction before the Eastern Conference Finals that the worst thing that could happen for the Raptors is the Celtics beating the Cavs, or at least just making it a really long, interesting series. Like that to me, if you're a Raptors fan, this is the one time you're rooting for the Cavs, because you just want people to, all right, see, it's LeBron.
Absolutely.
That's why.
Yeah, no question. I mean, right. that was hanging over them. After they lost game one, it was like, wait a minute, did you see the Pacers push these guys?
Yeah.
I mean, the Pacers pushed them to seven, and they blew them out a couple of times.
So you can imagine the reaction after the 0-2 deficit.
Right.
Now.
And then when they got swept, and then you look at the Celtics, and you're like, okay, well, LeBron's humming now. Kevin Love came alive.
Yep.
Korver and Smith are starting to hit shots. Tristan Thompson's kind of found his game. And no,
not a
Kyrie.
Guy who started the year as the third string point guard goes and beats you.
Exactly. So, yes, it looks awful. The fact that the Celtics have two, it looks awful. If they actually win the series, especially in like a sweep or five or six, it'll look terrible. And I think that's probably why Masai reacted the way he did. But in terms of the coaching situation, Mike Budenholzer agreed to terms in Milwaukee, and there were reports that Masai was showing interest in him. What do you make of this story, if it's true that he picked Milwaukee over Toronto?
All right, so a couple of different angles here, if you guys can give me a moment. The first is the more obvious, probably what you guys have hit on. And this is anybody who I've spoken to over, you know, essentially the last, 6 months since we known that Milwaukee's going to have a coaching opening. Anybody who is going to be able to go get a coaching job, who they didn't currently have a job, wanted that job. And the reason why is because of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Listen, in the NBA, market size, organizational history, organizational chaos, all that stuff kind of goes out the door when you're talking to coaches who have the ability to coach a guy who many feel at one point in his career might be the best player in the game. Will it happen? I don't know. But like, that's the ceiling on Giannis. So that's where it starts. So that's where you can't take the insult because you didn't have that guy and they did. So that's the edge. But the second part of it is this, and I think it's more interesting, and I don't know any of this to be true. I just kind of surmising it. Remember, Mike Budenholzer had a big part in personnel when he came over from the Spurs with Danny Ferry. Then Danny Ferry had his incident, got let go by the team, and Budenholzer right away, less than a year onto the job or so, is named president of the basketball operations. Right? He got that stripped away from him this past year. He was not happy being told by management and ownership to lose. That was never part of the plan for Budenholzer. He's a guy who wins every game. So he leaves the Hawks, and he's got a position where Toronto's open and Milwaukee's open. Milwaukee just hired a guy as their GM who most people in the NBA didn't even know his name prior to him, John Horst, being named. He's a very young guy, very inexperienced, good at his job, good guy. But in Toronto, you've got, like, Fort Knox on what management's going to look like for a very long time. And if you've got a very good, you know, Bobby Webster's a star, a rising star in the NBA and among executives as your GM. And if you've got Masai Ujiri, who was recruited by the organization to come from Denver. So if Budenholzer wants to stay in personnel, who do you think is going to listen to him more? You know, what Masai and Bobby have built in Toronto or a guy who's been on the job and been in the NBA for less than a decade?
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, if he's one of those guys where, you know, if you want him to cook, you got to let him shop for the ingredients. It's more than likely not going to happen here as long as Masai sticks around. I mean, Masai has been here for 5 years and he's starting to feel some heat for the first time in 5 years. I can tell you that, Jared.
Well, I think that's unfortunate. You know, I think it was unfortunate that Masai made the decision to let go Dwayne Casey. I think it's unfortunate that Masai is getting heat because, you know, again, it's great. I love the passion from the standpoint of, all right, we've been toying around with this enough. Let's go contend for championships, right? Like, I love that's the thinking, especially in the NBA so much when, you know, so many teams are trying to lose, trying to get draft picks. So I love that aspect of it. But I also think that there should be some appreciation of, not of the people who have built all of this, but just of the situation you're in. Like, the Raptors have been among the best four teams in the NBA in the Eastern Conference the last, what, 4 or 5 years. And there's no reason to think you won't be at least there next year if you bring back everything to be exactly the same. And I just think the thing that disappoints me the most about the Dwayne Casey firing is that, in my mind, if you're going to replace the guy who is going to go down as the greatest coach in Raptors history and has led you to places nobody even came close to leading you to, shouldn't you know where you're going next? Like, shouldn't you know what the plan is? And unless there was some sort of, you know, handshake, you know, backroom handshake with Budenholzer and he screwed you, which I doubt happened. I highly doubt that happened. How do you let go of Dwayne Casey, the best thing that's, you know, been in this organization a long time, and not know where you're going? Who's going to come in and get this team to 59 wins in the one seed and with an opportunity to go to the second round of the playoffs for, what, 4 straight years? Who else is going to do that?
We talk about it a lot. It's like you only fire the guy if you have somebody better lined up.
Right, right.
Wow. Well, what is the perception?
There's a lot of great coaches. There's a lot of great people. But it's just the thing is, and somebody's going to do a great job, whoever has the team. But just I don't want people to overlook what Dwayne Casey had this team doing that people 5 years ago never thought would be possible.
Well, and then what's the perception from the outside? Do you believe that the Raptors if they bring back the exact same team, right, will they have the exact same result? Like, do they have to change that core, whether it's Kyle or DeMar, to give a different look or maybe to bring in some different players that could challenge a Cleveland? I know everyone just talks about LeBron, but you have to find a different way to circumvent that.
There's no question. I think that there's probably, you know, an A, B, C, D, E, F game plan here because this is going to be a wild summer in the NBA, guys. And obviously, you know, LeBron controls everything, and then the dominoes will fall from there. And it looks like now the Raptors are in a really tough cap situation. You don't have your first-round pick, and so you're thinking, all right, everybody's just coming back. But I would say, be prepared for the unpredictable, and I'm not trying to foreshadow anything in particular, but it's going to be another crazy summer in the NBA, and I think things may be available to the team at some point, and we have no clue what they are yet, but by way of trade. You know, Kyle Lowry making $30 million a year seems like a lot of money, but for 2 years, if you know what you're getting, there may be a team who thinks he's the difference maker, right? He's the one piece that they're missing around other superstars. And I don't know that you've got to get rid of those guys. Maybe there's a way that you some other team is trying to unload a high-priced guy that you can figure out to dump some cap space to. It's not going to be easy, but I would just say don't get down before we get to August.
I'm with you on that. Enjoy the games going forward, and as always, we appreciate you doing this. Thank you, Jared.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Jared Greenberg from NBA TV. I was talking to Wheeler on the way out. Wheels was on last night, and
yeah.
Wheels brought up a good point. I mean, Carmelo Anthony had a really bloated contract and a horrible reputation, and he's probably over the hill. It's not like he's approaching the hill. He's over the hill.
Okay.
And he got traded. Like, you can make trades, so it's mm-hmm. just a matter of what you think you're getting back.
Right.
Like, you could trade Lowry, but I don't know what you're really going to get in return. I mean, that's what I'm sure Masai is determining right now. Do I try to actively pursue a trade for Lowry or DeRozan? Maybe both. I mean, I think he'd trade a Bach in a heartbeat if he could, but you're not getting anything back for him. And you can't do what you did with Damari Carroll, where you trade him and picks just to get rid of him and get him off your cap,
right.
Because then you just sewer your draft situation yeah. in the future. So, I don't know. These are all things, you know, there's a lot of different possibilities. The NBA offseason is the most wild offseason in pro sports. And you've got LeBron out there, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. There's going to be movement. And I'm sure the Raptors are...
Be nice
they
if
have to
those,
kick tires on them.
Nice if one of those guys arrived in Toronto. That's, I mean, we talk about, I joke about Drake and all that, but if this guy is any clout, can he get any of these guys to come to Toronto?
You would think. I mean, that's, I don't think he can, but that's what you would use him for.
Right.
Like, you know, like call, can you use your relationship with LeBron James to at least get us a meeting?
Yeah.
Can we meet somewhere in the middle?
Yeah.
Somewhere halfway between Cleveland and Toronto.
Probably we'll meet you halfway.
But I think the player says that there's no sense, so don't bother.
Probably.
Yeah.
LeBron's
it's like a
probably
free agent.
Like,
it's like people yeah. are lining up. It's like you, and you. You don't even have to come in here because
yeah,
it's no dice.
True. Yeah. True enough. But and Drake's probably the kind of guy who's like, no, I'm not doing that. I don't want to ruin my relationship with him. Or
yeah, it is a fine
Drake
line.
Would do that. He tried to do it with Kevin Durant. I think the Raptors got fined. Some music festival.
Well, it's one thing for him at him. It's another thing for him to orchestrate a sit down,
right?
And for him to be there actively pitching. It's one thing to be like, "Hey, come to Toronto, you'll love it up here," and another thing walking in like a suit with like a portfolio and being like, "This is what we envision."
If people think there's not collusion and backdoor deals,
course,
then
man.
They're ridiculous because it happens all the time.
All the time. All the time. All right, game four in the NHL. Eastern Conference Final tonight. We'll start teeing that up. We continue to look back on what happened last night with Vegas getting past Winnipeg. And as we inch closer to the idea of Vegas actually being in the Cup Finals, how are people going to react? Because I don't think people, we keep saying, like, hey, it
they're
could
not,
happen, but it's no one actually has ever thought it was.
They're not believing
no.
it. And it's, they're two games,
two wins
six
away.
Games away,
I'm
six
starting
wins
to think
away from
they're
winning a Stanley Cup.
I'm starting to think they're going to win the Stanley Cup.
Right. Okay, save it. We'll get into it. The reactions.
Do you not? Like
I'm leaning towards. Well, dude, there's four teams left. They're up 2-1 in the series. How can you not
it.
Like?
I'm not believing it, but I have. It has to be a
Winnipeg
part of your...
is going to come. Like they're going to have something to say, but it's starting to actually be a thing where you're like the Vegas Golden Knights.
All right, save
are
it.
Going to win the Stanley Cup.
We'll place...
and throw the ultimate wall squat at everyone.
We'll throw a Jerry's on how we feel about it.
Yeah.
Today. Okay?
We're doing a Jerry's today?
A Vegas Golden Knights Jerry's. Okay? We'll do that next. Someone texting in here saying, you should go back to September and find all the sound bites of you guys, and specifically Hayes, carving up Vegas and claiming proudly that they're going to be the worst team in the league by a mile.
Wonder if Jerry has anything to say about your comments regarding Vegas.
Nah.
Well, I was I haven't run from those. I mean, yeah, in September I was like, I think the expansion team is going to finish last.
I don't think there's a lot of people in hockey that there's nobody I know in hockey circles that said, yeah, Vegas is going to be a playoff team and they are going to dominate Pacific, like, there's not a
nobody.
Chance.
Nobody.
Said
how that. Could you? People in Vegas, like, Gerard Gallant came out and said that. He's like, I didn't think we were going to be that good. Like,
of course not.
You know, we showed up and we had a plan and we, I'm sure they thought they were better than what people like me were saying.
Said they could, yeah. We could surprise a couple of people.
Yeah, they're probably like, you know, we could end up like an 80-point team, 85-point team maybe, and pick a couple of wins here or there and surprise some teams. And
nobody thought.
You know, maybe the Flower plays great, but nobody saw this. Nobody. They're up 2-1 on Winnipeg in the conference final.
But the Flower was hurt for 2 months.
I know that. With a concussion.
And they were running out Maxim Lagasse. You know, they pick Malcolm Subban off of waivers. Dylan Ferguson, their fifth goalie, who's playing in Kamloops, they call him up and throw him in.
It's crazy.
Like, it just ended up, you know, lightning in a bottle. Oscar Dansk was another goaltender that played for them.
Well,
it leads to one question, and one question only, that Jerry has.
Here's a wall squat deuce and toss from Jerry to Brian Hayes. You thought the Vegas Knights were going to finish dead last. Listen to this, you son of a b-. James Neal, come and get the Stanley Cup.
Wow. Jerry taking a run at me.
Yeah.
Well, so Jerry
said... He gave you a wall squat.
Yeah, that was... I didn't know that Jerry was familiar with news up here in Canada. Yeah,
exactly.
I guess maybe he's on Twitter or something. So he's got Vegas winning the Cup. Jerry's got them winning the Cup.
I think 55%. That's where it's at right now.
Wow. That's an aggressive take. I'm lower.
They've got two wins, and I don't think Tampa or Washington beats this team. I don't think they're even would be close.
So you're not only saying they're going to win the Cup, that once they get to the Cup final, they're going to win in like five?
Yes, guy.
I'm not convinced of that. I mean, I think Washington can beat this. Tampa can beat Vegas. But I will say there's something about that building. Like, Winnipeg got it together in the third.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, with the theatrics to start and, you know, the anthem and everything, and the crowd is constantly going, and that team is rocking.
Yeah.
So you're at 55%. I mean, the obvious answer would be 25%. There's four teams left. You know.
Yeah.
That would be a cop-out, right? That would be a weasel move by
now. No, it's not a weasel move.
But I got to give them some points and take some away from Winnipeg because they're up 2-1. I don't think they're just going to steamroll the team in the East. I don't see that. I'll say 40%. 40% Vegas wins the Cup.
I'm going to saw some off of the 25% and go lower. I think they can. There's no reason, but there's 1 in 4 chance, so there's 25%. I still think Winnipeg can win this series.
Oh, of course they can.
So,
but they better win game 4.
Yeah.
You go down 3-1, I think it's over.
Yeah. Well, let's not forget that Marc-Andre Fleury had to stand on his melon to get that win last night. Mm-hmm.
But he's allowed to do that.
He's allowed to do that. He's part of the team. But I think Winnipeg, you know, it's in-game adjustments. I'm saying 18% because I also believe that Washington and Tampa are very strong teams.
Better than Vegas? On paper,
better than Vegas, right? On paper, but at least right there. So, you know, I'm 18%.
Interesting. What's your Jerry's on them being a playoff team next year?
75%.
No.
75%. They might add John Tavares and Erik Karlsson.
Well, let's not get crazy.
If they add, like, that's the thing. You got to see how the summer unfolds. But, like, let's not forget.
Now Tavares and Karlsson are joining.
But you know, is William Karlsson scoring 40-plus goals again next year?
You know what? If I was them, I would stay away from both of those players, and they're both superstars. There are some coaches believe that when you have that megastar, where for years it was just about Ovi and his 50 goals, but when it comes playoff time, you don't win. John Tavares on the island. You know how much winning he's done?
Okay, but zero. Put him on a better team. Like, yeah, exactly. Give him some goaltending. Yeah,
I'm just saying, you look at the Vegas Golden Knights, I wouldn't even go down that road. I would be saying, we got some kids coming. We got a bunch of picks. We're fantastic right now.
But they got a ton of cap space.
Yeah, and they also
But I would not. I don't know.
They've got a deal.
It's a really interesting debate on how you want to look at your roster.
Okay, but would you?
By the way, I tell you guys, I hate sitting here. I hate it, and I'm fed up. I hate it.
What are you talking about?
Sitting right here, people bug me, and you guys bug me about interrupting. I feel like I'm listening to you guys talk, and I have to interrupt to get involved. You're looking at him. You guys are looking at each other.
We look at each other, but like it's...
But I feel like I have to... I don't like sitting
here. So you want me to do this? Do you want me to do this?
I think
we
should
do this. I'll move the mic around, and I'll stare at you for the rest of the show.
I think we should look at you, but the problem is when you go baby
monkey... What about this?
Would that be more comfortable?
When you go baby monkey...
What about this?
Where's he going? Over here?
Yeah, but now Noodles get screwed.
I'm fine with it. I don't get us distracted. Why is he over there, though? How's that?
No, that
TV?
Doesn't work, dude.
I don't think that works for
this
TV.
This works.
We're on TV.
On TV.
All right, you're on the clock, dude. Like, what do you got? You're up. Now you're comfortable. You're in
now
a good
you're
spot.
You're front and center.
Now I could see my guys.
All right.
I got my guys.
But I won't get rattled. Like I
can't sit there another second of this show. No way.
Okay, for the rest of this show, look at this. We're up on TSN2. You're not even in the picture.
See, that's...
It's not going to work, man.
One, maybe there's a chance. If you slide to this one...
Just go back to your cage. Go back to the middle seat. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't...
I would move with you, but I have to be here for Mullen and Hunt.
Yeah,
like, I've got the whole operation.
We'll
here.
Have to figure
get a carpenter
out.
In here to build a square desk. That's all that we need, right?
I don't understand. A square. What do you mean, square that...
So we're looking at each other.
Like a tripod is kind of what we need.
I don't even... Square desk. There's three guys.
It doesn't matter.
Well, like the backup studio. Let's move to there.
Okay. Well, we can't because we're on TV.
Put a camera in there.
I'm with you. I would
that
love
thing
to go
right
back
there. Put it in there.
I'm
it's a
with
tripod.
You. Old school radio, man. You know that's... I'm always craving that.
I just have... I've had enough.
Yeah, I know. You really went off the deep end there.
Yeah, I didn't understand what was going on.
I can't
right
do it anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like we can make this happen.
All right.
Just
so
lock in. And
what were
no,
we
but
talking
it's just,
about?
I forget.
We were talking about Vegas and them making the playoffs next year. I think there's no guarantee that every time there's a team that maybe overachieves, you can call that.
Well,
what is
dude,
the
biggest overachievement okay. in the history of
so,
sports.
We're talking about the element of Carlson and Tavares. It's like debating on whether to go big fish hunting or not.
But you add to that, but there's no guarantee that Derek Eglin is the top four defenseman next year. No,
absolutely.
And you know,
that's more likely.
There's overachieving. There's career years
right.
involved.
Like I actually look at a guy like Carlson. He's a special player, man. Like William Carlson. He's really good.
He's a good player.
I'm not saying he's going to score 40. I don't think he's scoring 15. Like I think this kid's actually a stud. I think he's a legitimate
scored.
Really good player. I think Riley Smith's a good player. Marcius Stone's a good player. I don't think it's that. Those are the kind of guys that are going to come right back down to earth and be awful.
Right.
It's the guys like Derek Eglin, who were barely in the league, were like seventh defenseman on other teams, and all of a sudden they're playing every night in the playoffs. Guy like Nate Schmidt, who's been unbelievable for them.
And last night?
He's been
Paul
great
Coffey.
For them. Exactly. Now, maybe he is a part of the upper echelon, but maybe that's who he really
through.
Is.
Yeah.
But the guy further down the list...
Right.
You know, are you going to look at that?
William Perrier.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, that guy's going to come back down to earth a little bit.
But that's
so
that's
I think that's more likely.
But that's where it's up to George McPhee.
That's
if
right.
he wants to.
That's where
you add and say, okay, we have
exactly.
these guys who are good. Let's shape the team around them.
You don't say no to a guy like John Tavares.
Oh,
if he's willing to sign with your team and you've got the money to sign him, imagine Tavares is your number one guy. William Carlson's your number two.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, Alex
maybe the best
Tuck
one-two
really
in the West.
Alex Tuck is a really good young player. Like they've got some players. Eric Hollis, a speedster, he's a good player. Like you've got players to build around. It's just I would take star power every day of the week. I just want to see where the dust settles. Everything Vegas touched this year turned, for the pun involved, turned to gold.
Yes, it did.
So we saw it a couple years ago. Everything fell into place for the Edmonton Oilers. The goalie was great. Lucic had a great season. McDavid was on fire. They got 105 points or whatever. And then you come back down. So what is that team? I'd like to see 2 years of Vegas. What is this team?
Well, and it goes both ways. Like we always talk about if you fail, don't overreact and get stupid and throw away.
Right.
You know, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Right.
But the same thing applies on the opposite end. If you're really good, don't pretend like that's who you really are. If you don't believe that's who you really
are, just have to look it in the mirror and
you got to be honest,
be realistic.
Yeah.
But Colorado came a long way this year. Well, it helps with having a healthy goaltender, and then when he got hurt, the backup plays well. There's a lot of different scenarios. That's why I think the league is at an all-time, it's at an all-time good and bad, if that makes sense, because there's so much parity. There's going to be some teams that have gone deep into the playoffs this year. They're going to miss the playoffs next year.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what the copycat effect is with Vegas. Everyone says, oh, this is how Vegas gets it done. What is the copycat approach to that?
I don't know.
With a team that built it from scratch.
The only thing I can think of is systematic. Speed and relentless forecheck. And don't, other than their third period last night, I thought they got back on their heels and Winnipeg pushed. Vegas is a team that's not afraid. Like, they defend by attacking.
Yeah, they eliminate that's, time and space.
So it's systematic play. So teams may shape their team around, hey, we're going to have an aggressive team. We need these types of players.
Yeah.
Speed down farther
and
in
you know
line.
What? Gallant has done a good job of finding line mates and sticking to those lines,
yeah,
like a lot. Like, they're always going to have some change, but
right,
he finds what works and he sticks to it. This weekend, the Toronto Marlies head into the AHL Eastern Conference Finals. To celebrate, we're giving away two tickets to Game 2 when the Marlies face the Lehigh Valley Phantoms on Sunday. Puck drops at 4 p.m.
Leigh Valley.
One listener and their guest can win a pair of seats to the game in a catered suite. I'm struggling here. And a limited edition Toronto Marlies playoff T-shirt. Don't forget, tickets are available at Ticketmaster.ca. You can also hear the game right here on TSN 1050. The phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. Give me a number between 1 and 10.
6.
Do I have to tell you or just remember it?
No, just blurt something out.
3.
Caller 3 at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Caller 3 picks up a pair of tickets to a catered suite and a limited edition Marlies playoff T-shirt for Game 2 Sunday at 4 p.m. down at Rico. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Keep teeing up Game 4 tonight. The Jays are back in town as well. Oakland's in town. Aaron Sanchez on the mound.
You got one more segment and then your Viva Las Vegas.
That's right. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Feels like a Skip the Dishes kind of night. Beautiful night. Thursday, towards the end of the week.
I bet you Aaron's going to cook up a feast for you because it's your last night at home and she loves you to pieces.
You think so?
Oh yeah.
I'm not so convinced, but that would be great.
I guarantee you she's got a lasagna sitting with tinfoil over it, just waiting for your skinny, fat ass to walk in the door.
I can guarantee you that's not going to happen. Lasagna, it's too, like, you guys think we just whip this stuff up in 2 seconds. It takes a long time to prepare my lasagna the way I like it prepared.
If you love someone, there's no amount of time that's not enough.
Thanks.
How about a shepherd's pie?
Thank you.
We had shepherd's pie on.
We don't do shepherd's pie?
No, I've never been a shepherd's pie guy. I don't like it.
Shepherd's pie, I'm not going to lie. It's a once a year thing for me.
The way that it's prepared at my household, not by Peg Bundy either.
Right.
The nanny does it.
And she, like, it's just lean beef, peas and corn, and the layers with the cheese on the top.
See, I don't see you as a guy that would eat that because it's
there's no onions.
Oh, that's,
I know that, but it's one of those meals, like it's like a cocktail almost. Like, there's all this stuff is mixed together. There's no separation.
I don't mind that.
Oh, see, I don't like
if
that.
If it's just properly cooked.
Although lasagna, I guess, is kind of like that.
Yeah, but plain. Like, I like the lasagna like you make it. Just
right.
The
I make
plain.
A great lasagna.
You do.
Let's call
the best.
But shepherd's
spade
pie is quality. You just can't have all the nonsense with it.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Aaron Sanchez on the mound tonight. The dome should be open. I'm on Sanchez tonight, the Sanchez. I think the Jays pick up a win over Oakland. I'm on Boston home plus over Baltimore. And Atlanta's getting plus money. They're playing the Cubs, but they're at home, and the Braves have been really good. I'll take the Braves tonight. Throw down 20. You can score 98. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So we got game four tonight, Caps, Lightning.
What's your gut on that one?
I think whoever wins tonight is probably going to win the series.
Yeah, I think so.
Kind of feels like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm on the Caps. It sounds like Backstrom's a game-time decision. He may have planned
walking
tonight.
Into the building without a bandage on his hand.
Mm-hmm. That would be
plays.
Big.
That would be big.
Yeah, and if the Caps win tonight, I think they're going to the Cup Final. So I'm on the
think
Caps.
Chris Pronger would ever chop a guy if he knew he had a bad hand?
Absolutely. He'd drop as many times as he could, but that's, you know, that's
doesn't
an old style.
Anymore.
You can't do that. It's a slashing penalty, and now the power plays are too good. Come back to bite you in the rear. I think in Washington, they may even just play him in the power play. He's so good. He's such an elite passer.
That would be strange.
I know they wouldn't, but you don't. People do say that. It's just power play specialists because you don't want that five-on-five physicality.
Right.
But,
well, I guess, listen, that would make sense, but I just
if
don't
I'm
think
a coach,
you'd ever
I'm
see
like,
it.
Dude, you
if you can you, play,
yeah.
you play.
Play, you play.
We're not doing this, messing up our lines. And.
But imagine a playoff rover. Like, all you do is play on the power play.
And shootouts.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're not in the playoffs.
Three-on-three shootouts and power plays. That's it.
Jussi Jokinen bounced around the league this year. He's known as one of the best shootout players of all time.
Yeah, but he was a good penalty killer.
Solid player, but I'm just saying, like, we had a guy in Calgary, Alex Kotelik. Unreal. Like, 50%, or close to 50% in his career.
That right-handed shot guy?
Yeah, heavy shot. He had some issues.
I feel like he might have been a Leaf at some point.
Kotelik? Solid guy. Really nice guy.
Probably. Yeah. If it didn't work out for him, there's a good chance he played here.
Anyway, well, Scotty Mac is in tomorrow in the big chair.
Enjoy that tomorrow. Say hi to my buddy Scotty Mac for me. You guys are both in here tomorrow,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we'll be here.
We might cold call you in Vegas to check in to see what's up. Maybe around 4:30. We'll chat then.